Yeah.
I walked out of there. He wiped out that bill. I was like, fucking A.
Nice.
And I said to him, I said, can I get some kind of receipt that this happened? So, like, if I get something in the mail. And he goes, if something comes in the mail, bring it back to me. I'm the only British guy here. You won't have any trouble finding me. Okay,
Wow.
thanks.
Nice.
And I walked away.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
John's back.
I
Who's
am.
Who's back? John's back.
Yes.
Who's back? I missed you last week.
Yeah, well, Princess is rested, so. Yeah.
Yeah. So did you have a good time?
I did have a good time.
Yeah.
I think I ate my weight in lobster.
You can't get lobster in Florida?
Oh, you can, but it's not the same shit. It's flown down, you know? I want them to go pluck it off the pier and hand it to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was great. Weather was great. It wasn't humid. It was hot.
Yeah.
Wasn't disgusting. It was very nice.
That's cool.
Very nice. Yep. Had a nice party for my brother for his 40th. So
Nice.
good times.
Did you go down to the pier?
I did go down to the pier. I
Yeah.
went down to I went down to a Faneuil Hall.
Uh-huh.
I had lunch with our friend Angie.
Oh, okay.
She was in town with Cirque du Soleil.
Oh.
So we met up for lunch. That was
Nice.
nice. Yeah.
How's
Yeah, it
she
was
doing?
good. She's doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep.
She happier at Cirque?
Oh, amazingly happy. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, very much
Yeah.
so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So it's good. So it's good to be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the worst part of travel is the traveling.
Yeah, well, have any airline adventures this time?
Oh, I'd like to tell you the joys of JetBlue.
Really, I heard JetBlue was pretty good.
Yeah, no.
No?
So I checked in for my flight online. I gave them my phone number to get text messages. And 5 minutes after I walk into the terminal, I get a text message that my flight has been delayed 2 hours.
Okay.
2 hours. And I always take the last flight of the night because it gives me, you know, maximum family time, and then I can sleep on the plane and, you know. So I get there, and of course, now I've got 4 hours to wait.
Right.
So I got something to eat and had a few beers and went to the gate, and since the plane was pretty full, I asked if they had any of the extra room seats available,
Yeah.
and they had, you know, several rows of them because people don't pay, you know, people are cheap.
Right.
So I said, what the hell? I paid the $50. I got upgraded from like row 24 to row 2.
Wow.
And it was one of the extra room seats. It wasn't one where you've got to, you know, push out the window and help everybody off the plane.
Was it one of those little like pod things?
No,
Oh. Oh, okay.
No. So, when I'm at the terminal, the first thing I spot is like this 500-pound black guy, and I'm thinking he's gonna sit next to me. I just know he is. He's gonna sit next to me. And he was with his two mocha daughters. And then the wife joined him in her wheelchair with her two service dogs. And I'm
Nice.
like, damn it, that's my whole fucking row. I just know it is. And the woman was one of those very demanding handicapped people.
Okay.
And she wasn't getting the best service that she thought she was entitled to, and she was complaining to anybody who would listen that she could so have those attendants fired right there on the spot. And, you know, she was tweeting back and forth at with JetBlue.com or whoever. And Of course, because she's handicapped, they've got to lift her fat ass out of her wheelchair onto one that they can take down the ramp and put on the plane.
Okay.
Well, they did, and they put her right on the end of my row.
Nice.
So I'm like, okay, and she's sitting there taking up more space. Oh, I didn't mention that she's about 300 pounds.
Right, okay.
So she's taking up her all of the breathing room there, and she's got the two dogs at her feet, and of course I'm in the window seat.
Okay.
So I kind of waited very patiently, and I put my bag overhead, and she got the dog to move so I could get in and sit. And I'm like, okay, fine. Fine, this will be fine. And she starts into it. She's complaining to the stewardesses. It's like, somebody was supposed to bring me a neck pillow because I have posture problems. And going, oh, I need a blanket. I need this. I need that. And I was like, okay, it's gonna be a long flight. Thank God I charged the iPod, ready to go. And the dogs decided that they were gonna sleep on me.
Nice.
And one of them, I don't even think was a fucking service dog. It was one of those little yap yap dogs, and she kept passing it back and forth across the aisle to her big fat husband. So obviously she didn't need it that badly. So the little dog ended up sleeping on the seat between us, and I'm sure she didn't pay for that seat.
Of course not.
And then the bigger dog slept on my feet the whole flight.
Well, she's smart enough to know that they're not going to say anything to her because.
Well, they did question her about it
Oh, do you
because
really?
I got the impression that she was hiding the smaller dog.
Oh.
Because somebody, I obviously she couldn't walk through the scanner,
Right.
so she was probably scanned with the wand. And one of the TSA people who was down there mentioned that nobody saw the dog until after she had cleared security.
Oh.
So I thought it was my duty to send a comment to JetBlue saying, look, I was in this seat, this woman was on the end of the aisle, and she was just rude to your entire crew, and these people had had a long day already. It was a 2.5 hour delay. They were friendly, they were smiling, they were professional. They did everything they freaking could do, and this woman was just a bitch. And I just want you to know that your people did their jobs well, and if you get a complaint, ignore it.
Wow.
So they gave me a $25 credit for that.
Oh, there you go.
So I'm still waiting for the credit for the 2.5 hour delay.
Oh, you get credit for that?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't travel by air, so I don't really know how this shit works anymore.
Yeah. There's like a customer's bill of rights
Oh.
in terms of, how long your delay is, how long you have to sit on the tarmac before they have to turn around and take you back off the plane. All that stuff.
But JetBlue, that means you had free snacks, though, right?
And, yeah, but it was after midnight by the time we took off.
Wow.
So I just tried to sleep. And all I'm thinking is, if this plane goes down, I'm dead because how the hell am I getting over this thing in the end of the aisle?
You just claw your way over.
It's like, when do your rights infringe on my rights?
Well, that's the whole problem with America.
Isn't
It's a me society. Doesn't matter what you do.
I
Doesn't
want to
matter
make
what you
America
want.
great again.
It's only it only matters what I how I feel and the things that I want, John.
Yes.
That's the way this
Yes.
shit works.
That is how it works. It's pretty freaking pathetic. Pretty damn pathetic.
Yeah,
If I
well.
had it my way, I would set the wildfire on fire and blow their asses to hell. Is that a good
Sure, we can segue into
segue?
that if you want. So I'm hoping that you've watched Game of Thrones.
What's that?
Oh, shut up.
No, All Star Family Feud was on. NeNe Leakes was on.
See, I was afraid you'd pull one of those.
No, of course I watched it.
All right. So, big season finale
Yep.
of Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Unlike other seasons where episode 9 is the big one and episode 10 is kind of
The blah.
setting up for next season,
Oh, they set up for next season.
They set up for next season, but there is a lot of collateral damage that happens.
Wow. Yes.
We didn't talk last week about Battle of the Bastards.
Nope.
And I was curious to know what you thought of that one.
Epic.
Yeah.
Epic. Sansa sicking the hounds on
Poor Ramsay.
Ramsay Bolton.
Yeah. I think we had talked about, like, he had to die at her hands.
Yes.
In some way.
Yes.
And of course that pays off. I kind of touched briefly last week in my little solo tirade of, the fact that, like, there's hardly any dialogue in this episode.
It was all battle.
It's all battle. It's nothing but action. And they do a really good job of making things tense and making things claustrophobic. And when John gets knocked down and everybody's piling on top of him, you kind of feel like it's happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just did this amazing job. It turns out they spent $100 million on that episode.
Wow.
Took more than a month, I think, to shoot. Like, something crazy.
Yeah.
So I figured going into this one, it would be kind of low key. They would kind of get rid of some extraneous people and then set things up. But they did way more than that.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way that this episode starts out, where everybody's getting dressed and getting ready for the trial. And there's no dialogue again. It's just like this medieval music that's kind of in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all kind of silent, and you're watching these people get ready. And that should have been my first clue, because one of the things Game of Thrones doesn't do is dawdle on anything.
Right.
There's no lingering whatsoever in Game of Thrones. If there is, then there's something that they're setting you up for. So winds up that it's the trial for Loras and Cersei, except Cersei's not there.
Right.
And I thought they did this really cool thing with, like, what's his name? Oh God, the guy that played Walter Donovan in Last Crusade. Donald Glover?
Yes.
Glover? Yes.
Yes. Meister. Or was he the Meister?
Yeah, Grand Meister.
Yes.
Maester Pycelle.
Yes.
So they do this thing where he's getting out of bed with a whore, and she's like, "You need to pay me." And he's like, "No, I'll pay you later."
Right.
And then he gets called to this room and promptly killed by a bunch of little kids.
I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
that was amazing. It's like, oh, the little birds.
Yeah. And then they do this thing where Cersei doesn't show up, and Loras has confessed and has had this symbol carved into his head. And
yep.
You're like, oh shit, they're not fucking around here.
Right.
And they send the other one.
The other brother.
The cousin.
Yes.
Lannister. And he sees a kid and he follows the kid, and the kid stabs him. I guess he stabs him in the back.
It looked kind of weird where he stabbed him to really hurt him that much.
It was like his spinal cord or something.
Is that what it was?
I think so, because he couldn't walk after that.
Yeah, that's what I thought was weird.
So he looks up and he sees like lights down the passage. So he pulls himself, and you start seeing all these barrels of wildfire, and it's like, holy shit, they're actually gonna like destroy this. And really cool, like, candles burning down as like a timer.
Yep.
Which I thought was really clever. And then in one fell swoop, they get rid of the High Sparrow, all of his people, Marjorie, her brother, her father. Like, all these people in just one fell swoop, it was like, boom, gone.
Yes.
So I was like, wow, okay. They're going to kind of, they're going to blow their load that early. It's very cool way to do it. Like, the visual effects were awesome with the green fire and stuff.
Yep.
And then,
but wait, there's more.
And then it becomes this show of just like, we're going to take everything that people have been complaining about that is not getting resolved.
Yep.
And we're just going to resolve the shit out of this. I mean, I think the most shocking one was Tommen.
Yes.
Where Tommen's staring at the window.
And he goes, he puts his crown back.
He takes his crown off and he leaves the window and it lingers. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I thought, well, maybe they're just showing off the visual effects. And then Tommen kind of runs out the window to his death. And it's like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Okay, so now he's dead. And then Cersei shows up with the Shame Nun.
Yep.
And the Shame Nun's like, look, I'm ready to die. And Cersei's like, oh, no.
Oh, you're not going to die yet.
No. Hey, I want you to meet a friend of mine.
Right.
Here's the zombie mountain, and from what I gather, he's going to torture and rape the shit out of her.
Yes.
So
repeatedly.
Repeatedly until like they decide that she's going to die.
Yes.
And it's just one of those episodes where it just does not stop. Every single time that you go somewhere, there is a major fucking reveal or somebody dies or they cut to River Run and Jaime's there telling off Walder Frey. And he keeps looking at this girl who keeps, like, looking at him. And that turns out to be Arya, who kills Walder Frey later.
Right.
And it's like, holy fuck. Like, literally, like, they must have sat down and said, who can we get rid of? Like, here's all the things that we have to do between now and the next 13 episodes. Because that's all that's left. They're going to do 7 next season and then 6 the season after.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was amazing of all the shit that happened.
Yep.
I love the stuff at the end with Daenerys.
Oh my god. Because they kind of, I mean, if it had ended there, like just as a series, I think it would have been satisfying. Cersei's on the throne, you know, Jon Snow and Sansa are back in Winterfell. Walder Frey's been killed. It was like it like wrapped up a lot of good stuff.
Right.
But then to have the shot of her and her ships and her dragons coming in. It's like, oh my god.
So
and now knowing who Jon Snow really is.
Yes, Jon Snow is actually a Targaryen.
Yes.
Which means he is actually I think he would be the cousin or the wait. So his father is the Mad King's son.
Right.
So Jon Snow is the son of a Targaryen. So that makes him the nephew of Daenerys?
I don't know.
I think it's the nephew of Daenerys. So that should be interesting when those two meet. I mean, I think what thrilled a lot of people was for the last 5 years it's been this constant, when the hell is Daenerys going to get to Westeros?
Right.
Like all we're doing is spinning our wheels with the Dothraki and Meereen and all this other stuff. Oh, she's capturing cities. We're never going to get there. And now she's on her way. And all these people are starting to come together. She's on the boat with
Tyrion.
Theon. Well, Theon
oh,
is
Theon
there,
and
Yara
Theon and
is
Brienne
there.
And yeah.
The Dothraki are there.
The Theon.
So the one thing that I don't quite understand about the show is the timeline of things. Things seem like they're not happening at the same time. And what I mean by that is by the time Diana Rigg gets to Dorne,
mm-hmm.
she knows that her 2 grandkids and her son are dead.
Yes.
But that doesn't seem to be something that other people know yet. And like Varys being in Dorne and then the very next shot, he's back in Meereen.
Right.
Like, I don't know if they're compressing timelines for stuff, and it's just one of those, like, don't worry about how people get from here to here.
Yes.
Like Jaime's at River Run and then seemingly an hour later, he's back at King's Landing. Like, a lot of that doesn't kind of fit together.
Well, that's the time travel with Hodor.
Yeah, I guess so. So that's a little weird, because it's like, you know, Varys is in Dorne, he's talking to the Sand Snakes and Diana Rigg, and then, like, all of a sudden, Daenerys is sailing, and he's on the boat with her. And it's like, what? Wait, he was just in Dorne.
Right.
Maybe there's two of them.
Yeah, I don't know. yeah. I thought the scene with Daenerys and Tyrion getting the hand of the queen was just awesome.
Yes, and I like the fact that, so Emilia Clarke is not very tall.
Well, right.
So they put Tyrion on a step, and they were able to have this, like, heartfelt moment eye to eye.
Yep.
And it was very cool. It was very, like, very touching, and very, like, Tyrion finally has respect, and he's with someone who's not going to make fun of him for who he is, what he looks like. She's really wants his counsel, and he's finally fitting in somewhere.
Right. And when he was given the hand of the king before by his father,
yeah,
it was kind of like, well, I've got nobody else to give this to, so here you go. And then he almost immediately takes it away from him.
Right. But he does an amazing job as a hand of the king.
Yes.
Like, he defends Blackwater, and he repels Stannis and saves King's Landing and gets shit for it. And here he's finally in his element. He's got somebody who wants his counsel, and and it just, oh, it's so good. And all the stuff with Jon Snow, now he's king in the north.
Yep.
I did think it was rather interesting, I don't know if you caught it, but when they went back to Bran for his brief appearance.
Yes.
Uncle Benjen makes a point of saying that as long as the wall stands, the dead can't cross.
Because of magic in the wall,
because of the magic in the wall, which means pretty soon we have to see some kind of big battle at the wall that pretty much destroys the wall. So maybe that's the big showdown next season in episode 6 instead of episode 9.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of wondering where the White King comes back.
Yeah. Because we didn't see him at all.
No.
In this one.
And they kind of just went away.
And I'm not really sure why they needed to check in with Sam and Gilly. Other than to be like, well, okay, well, Sam is there with all the books.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also that Sam has privileged information now, or access to privileged information.
Okay.
On like the legitimate history of this whole thing.
Okay.
Whereas Bran seems to be going back in time, but only coming out with information on his own family.
Right.
Sam now has the ability to go back and find, like, legitimate documents and stuff.
Maybe he's the one that figures out that he's actually a Targaryen.
Could be.
Because the theory that I've read online is that the story that was told was that Ned Stark's sister was kidnapped and raped.
Yes.
And then killed. But if they had secretly gotten married and she had gotten pregnant, then he has claim to the throne.
Yes.
So maybe that's how they figure all that shit out.
Mm.
Maybe he's the linchpin.
Could be.
And he's got the Valyrian steel sword for when the White Walkers show up. And then, you know, it's Jon Snow and Sam fighting off White Walkers at the gates of King's Landing.
Could be.
It really sucks that it takes a year
to get back into it.
To get back into it.
Yeah.
I mean, and as where there was only really one shocking thing last year, which was the death of Jon Snow.
Right.
This just one thing after another was like, holy shit.
Right.
Holy shit. No, they're not going to do. Holy shit.
Right.
Just started clearing that board of, yeah, we're not going to need you anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess, what's her name that plays Marjorie?
I couldn't tell you her name.
Fuck.
Allison Hannigan?
No.
That's who she looks like.
Allison Hannigan?
That's who she looks like.
No. Natalie Dormer.
Okay, her too.
So Natalie Dormer had an interview today or last night or whatever where they talked about the end of her character. And apparently she had gone to the producers and wanted out last season.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we can't do that, but we will let you out the following season.
Right.
And apparently she only filmed for a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Like they filmed all her stuff. She said that the last thing that they filmed with her was where she meets her grandmother and says everything's going to be okay and
slips her a little paper with the rose.
That's the last thing that they filmed of her. So they start filming shit out of order.
Well, that kind of makes sense because then you're only paying the actress for a couple of weeks as opposed to, you know, keeping her on set or bringing her back and forth. So that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah. So that's what she was saying. She was saying like, cause I guess she had a project that she wanted to do and they were like, yeah, we can't let you, we're sorry. Like we have big plans for your character and we can't let you go now.
Right.
But we will make it up to you. We will get you out by the end of the next season. Which I guess is weird. Cause I mean, as a showrunner, you're like your stars get famous.
Right.
And then they want out of their contracts and you kind of want them to be able to do what they want because you don't want like pissed off actors
right
on your set. But then like, so if they had plans for Marjorie later on, they can't do it now because Natalie Dormer wanted to go do something else.
Mm.
I mean, I thought that's what the contracts were for, but apparently you can just break contracts willy nilly. In Hollywood, which I thought was weird. So now that that's over, what are you going to watch?
Yeah, I really don't know.
Yeah. I watched Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
The new season. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I don't have any interest in that.
You don't like Chicks in Prison?
No.
No? Licking each other's cooches?
No.
They do a lot of that.
Sorry here. So you've told me.
Lots of blah, 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 blah.
Nice.
I went to, you'll find this amusing. I went to a movie theater yesterday to go see the Independence Day sequel.
Uh-huh.
And it's Sunday morning and I pull in and there's a sign that says so-and-so church. And I'm like, that's a little odd. A movie theater, but whatever. And I walk up to the box office and I say one for Independence Day. And they give me my ticket and I go to walk towards the door and these two people open the door for me and tell me to have a blessed day. And I'm like,
uh-oh.
What the fuck is going on? So I hand the ticket to the ticket taker and he rips my ticket. And all along the walls are these signs for this church and apparently... You know how, like, when churches try to get started, they'll rent out, like, a gymnasium?
Yeah.
Well, these people rent out a movie theater.
Okay.
But because the movie theater's hallways are small and they have, quote-unquote, Sunday daycare.
Okay.
All the hallways are blocked with these makeshift tents where all the kids are.
Okay.
And you have to squeeze through to get to your theater. And I was like, what the fuck? I didn't say that out loud, but I was like, what is going on? So I go down to the theater where it's supposed to be, and it's instead of saying Independence Day above it, it says Captain America Civil War. So I go and I find an usher, and I'm like, hey, this says Theater 13, but that says Civil War. And he goes... Yeah, I know. I'm so sorry, but we don't get to change the signs in the morning because of any kind of like points. And I'm like, gotcha. Don't worry about it. But that's the right theater, right? And he's like, yep. So apparently, like, while they're renting it out, they also cause some issues. Because they're like sitting in the lobby, like in prayer circles and shit.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm like, really, man?
Once again, when do your rights infringe upon mine?
I don't know. But like, so I was sitting there and I was waiting because I was a little early, and I was like, I was waiting for like the line at the concession stand to go down. So I was sitting on this bench, and then there's two guys at the bench next to me, and there's a guy standing there, and they're like, let's pray for you. And I didn't see who they were talking to, and I was like, they better not fucking be talking to me. And I turned and I looked, and they were talking to the guy that was standing there, and I was like, good fucking thing, because that's right. The last thing I want is to fucking cause an issue when all I want to do is go to the movies. But yeah, it was rather interesting.
Wow.
And the movie was okay. It wasn't great.
Was it just okay? Yeah. You didn't run through the halls yelling, Jesus is dead. Speaking in tongues.
No.
Were they eating popcorn in the church service?
I don't know, because there was like, I guess one of the theaters, they like go in there. Because I think one of the theaters has like a little, it's not a stage, but it's a little.
Yeah,
like
AMC has those.
Yeah, so.
That's where the snakes were?
I don't know. But they were in that theater.
Okay.
So I guess like that's where the main service is going on. And then everybody that's outside are the people that tell you where your kids are, or they're looking after your kids, or. You know, but you can't fucking walk anywhere because there's a whole bunch of people. They're just standing around praying, and it's like, excuse me, I'm trying to get to my movie.
You didn't like stand up and go, Jesus Christ, who are you people?
What the fuck, man? No, I didn't do that.
Oh, okay.
And nobody offered to save my soul, so I'm good.
Oh. So you're not saved.
You can't, like, that's not a thing for me.
Okay.
It's not a promise of anything.
You didn't accept Will Smith as your personal savior?
No, he's not in this movie.
Oh, Brent Spiner?
Yes, Brent Spiner was hysterical. He was like the best part of the film.
Well, thank God he's still getting some work.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, you know, he got to walk around in his underwear and show his butt, so.
Oh.
I'm sure he's happy.
Well, good.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was my yesterday morning.
Hmm. Wow.
The funny thing was, so the theater that I was in was rather small. There was only like 7 or 8 rows.
Okay.
But like, you know, like 25 seats across or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the second youngest person in the theater.
Okay.
And
were they all old people?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. I thought it was very odd that like, that was the crowd that came out to Independence Day.
Huh.
I mean, yes,
they thought it was a 4th of July movie.
They thought it was Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what the deal was. Like, yes, the first one was 20 years ago, but I was the target audience for 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm 42 now. So like, I shouldn't be one of the youngest people in the theater.
Hmm.
It was very bizarre. But I guess they were the old geeks.
Huh, okay. Well,
when
interesting.
That first came out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
But I would say if you like the first one, this one is on par, but it's not better.
Okay.
I mean, I think it definitely worked with not releasing it like a year after the first one.
Mm-hmm.
That they gave it some time. They thought about the story, and they said it 20 years later. And, you know, naturally everybody's older and everybody looks the part.
Right, right.
You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, well, that's good.
Set it up for another sequel. It's like a...
Of course.
Okay. Because you can't do anything now with just one movie.
Right.
You can't just tell a good story. You got to franchise the shit out of that.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Well, speaking of franchises,
yeah,
There were some big ripples in geekdom on Friday. I don't know if you caught this.
For what?
There was a, let's say, a manifesto handed down by Paramount and CBS regarding Star Trek.
I was just about to talk about that.
Were you?
Yes.
Well, carry on.
Well, no, you go.
I think it's amazing that CBS and Paramount are really screwing themselves over.
Well, the one of the things that I don't quite understand is this all came about because a bunch of filmmakers raised some money to make a fan film.
Right.
And the only thing that fan films do is get people excited about the actual property.
Right.
Like, and it shows how much they care and how much they love whatever the property is. And you and I having done fan films, when I saw this, it made me sick to my stomach that like a company as big as CBS and Paramount are going to like put these rules into place so that filmmakers have their hands tied
Right.
for a property that they love.
Right. And some of the things that they're putting out are just ludicrous.
Yeah.
Like the title of a fan film cannot include the word Star Trek,
No.
but it has to contain a subtitle that says a Star Trek fan production.
Yes.
And it's like, so what are you saying here? We can't call it, Star Trek, The Trek Awakens.
Right.
But we can call it the, well, I guess you can't call it The Trek Awakens. You can call it Awakens, a
Yes.
Star Trek fan production.
Yes. Yes. So the list for anybody who's interested is the first rule is the fan production must be less than 15 minutes for a single self-contained story, or no more than two segments, episodes, or parts, not to exceed 30 minutes in total.
With no additional seasons, no extra episodes, no additional parts, no additional sequels, no additional remakes.
Right.
So 30 minutes and you're out.
Right. You better tell your story because this is the only fucking chance you get.
Yep.
So the second one is the title of the fan film. Can't be Star Trek. It's got to be a Star Trek fan production. Number three is the content in the fan production must be original, not reproductions, recreations, or clips of any Star Trek production. If non-Star Trek third-party content is used, all necessary permissions for any third-party content should be obtained in writing.
So what does that mean? If I decide that I want to use Pootie Tang clips to tell a Star Trek story, I need to get written permission from the producers of Pootie Tang?
It's either that or if you're going to make somebody's fan fiction into a short. I think what they're saying
Oh,
is you
okay.
need to have their permission
Permission.
as well.
Okay.
So number four, if the fan production uses commercially available Star Trek uniforms, accessories, toys, and props, these items must be official merchandise and not bootleg items or imitations of such commercially available products. So you have to buy the shit from Paramount.
Yes.
You can't be a prop person. You can't be a seamstress. You can't make your own shit.
You can't do a steampunk Star Trek episode.
It's fucking unbelievable.
It is. It is. And I love the number five, which is the fan production must be a real fan production.
Yes.
Creators, actors, all other participants must be amateurs, cannot be compensated for their services, and cannot be currently or previously employed on any Star Trek series, films, production of DVDs, or with any CBS or Paramount Pictures licensees.
So this is what I think happened. So Tim Russ, Walter Koenig, Alan Ruck, and I think Uhura, I think Nichelle Nichols have done their own Star Trek films.
Yep.
They've done them on huge scales and released them. So I think that one of the things that prompted this whole thing was those guys using the Star Trek name. from that rule alone, I feel like CBS and Paramount were pissed that they were making money off the Star Trek name and not kicking any back.
But how much money do you think they're making off of this? Really?
But they made several of them.
But still.
I don't know.
I'm sorry, but Nichelle Nichols at 117 is still signing autographs at cons. So something tells me she didn't make it rich.
No, and Tim Russ is still at cons too. And
well, I mean, it's that or his job at Starbucks. So come on.
So I think he's been the director for a bunch of these too. So he did something called Star Trek Renegades.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek of Gods and Men. Roddenberry on Patrol, which I guess was another one, but like, so Star Trek Renegades, let me see the full cast list here, see how many of these people you might know. So so the cast includes Walter Koenig, who was the original Chekhov.
Yep.
Tim Russ, who was Tuvok. Sean Young, crazy Sean Young. Corin Nemec, who used to be on Stargate. Edward Furlong, Robert Picardo. Trying to know ones that you'd actually know. Grant Imahara from Mythbusters. So I mean, they had some people. They weren't just like grabbing any actor that would show up. Robert Beltran, who was Chakotay, Aaron Eisenberg, who was on Deep Space Nine, Shirok Lofton, who was on Deep Space Nine, Nichelle Nichols, Terry Farrell was in this.
Yep, so Dax.
So it's basically a who's who of Star Trek people.
Sure.
Who basically made money off of the Star Trek name, however much that was. And of course, for something like this, they don't give you like, like budgets or anything.
Right.
But this was a crowdfunded project. And the one that was getting sued was a crowdfunded project. And I think that instead of going after the Star Trek actors and CBS saying, you can't do this anymore.
Sure.
They're going after.
Well, because
the
what
guy.
Kind of PR storm would that be?
Exactly.
Nichelle Nichols takes to frickin' Twitter saying that they won't let her play Uhura.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep.
So they go after the fanboys who are making these movies.
Right.
Who are like more social media savvy and think nothing's going to happen.
Well, and what I think they thought was that they were just going to roll over.
Yeah.
But instead they lawyered up and was like, you know, this is under, you know, I don't know.
Fair use.
I guess. I mean, I don't know what it entailed or if Paramount even looked into what would be fair use and what wouldn't be. But I mean, this set of rules is just fucking retarded. Number six is the fan production must be non-commercial. And there's right. several parts of this. CBS and Paramount Pictures do not object to limited fundraising for the creation of a fan production, but it can't exceed more than $50,000. Including all platform fees, and when the $50,000 goal is reached, all funding must cease. Now, granted, I could do a lot of shit for $50,000.
Right.
But to limit somebody and be like, you can only be $50,000 worth of creative.
Mm-hmm.
The fan production must only be exhibited or distributed on a no-charge basis and or shared via streaming services without generating revenue. So you can show it, you can't make any money. But, you know, most of the time, people are going to get something for their money on crowdfunding sites.
Sure.
So that calls into the next one. The fan production cannot be distributed in a physical format such as a DVD or Blu-ray. What the fuck, man?
Right.
All right, then you know, you have to get really specific or else I'm going to be putting them on fucking thumb drives. And I'll be quote unquote donating them for a small fee.
Well, you pay for the thumb drive.
Yeah, exactly. You're not paying for the movie.
Right.
The fan production cannot be used to derive advertising revenue, including but not limited to, through, for example, the use of pre or post roll advertising, click through advertising banners that is associated with the fan production.
Well, it doesn't say anything about product placement.
No, not at all. Like fucking Worf is on the bridge of the Enterprise drinking a Coke?
Yes.
Okay.
Somebody hands him a Snickers.
Yeah.
Here, eat this.
No unlicensed Star Trek-related or fan production-related merchandise or services can be offered for sale or given away as premiums, perks, or rewards in connection with the fan production fundraising. How are you supposed to raise the funds without giving shit away?
Right.
That's the whole point of crowd fundraising.
Yep.
And the last part of this one is the fan production cannot derive revenue by selling or licensing fan-created production sets, props, or costumes. Now, granted, I don't really want a fan-created prop. But...
No, but what it doesn't say is you can't drag your fan-created production set to a con.
No, not at all.
And charge people for photos against it. See, we're working the loopholes here. We're going to make this work to the benefit of us.
Yes. Number 7 is the fan production must be family-friendly and suitable for public presentation. Videos must not include profanity, nudity, obscenity, pornography, depictions of drugs, alcohol, tobacco, or any harmful or illegal activity, or any material that is offensive, fraudulent, defamatory, libelous, disparaging, sexually explicit, threatening, hateful, or any other inappropriate content. The content of the fan production cannot violate any individual's right of privacy.
So you're telling me that Picard drinking alcohol or the patrons at Quark's smoking the hookah,
right,
or Quark's naked mother,
right,
is all appropriate.
So according to this, you cannot show...
You can show nudity without showing genitals or breasts.
Well, it says nudity, obscenity, pornography. But basically with the material that is offensive, fraudulent, like all that stuff, or threatening, like... So what they're saying is you cannot have a scene where one ship fires on another and kills a bunch of people. Basically, what's going to happen next month with Star Trek Beyond?
Yeah, exactly.
Number 8, the fan production must display the following disclaimer in the on-screen credits of the fan production and on any marketing material, including the fan production website or page hosting the fan production. Star Trek and all related marks, logos, and characters are solely owned by CBS Studios, blah, 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 blah. This is a non-commercial fan-made film intended for recreational use.
And what is the recreational use of a fan film?
I don't know.
Okay.
Number 9, creators of fan productions must not seek to register their works nor any elements of the works under copyright or trademark law. I understand that one.
That makes perfect sense.
As a fan film producer, I've never thought to myself, I should go trademark The Last Starfighter.
Yeah, right?
Like, that doesn't fucking ever come into any kind of thought process with anybody who's making these. You understand when you make a fan film based on an existing property that you don't own the characters. And finally, number 10... Fan productions cannot create or imply any association or endorsement by CBS or Paramount Pictures.
Okay.
And then it says CBS and Paramount Pictures reserve the right to revise, revoke, or withdraw these guidelines at any time in their own discretion. So you could do all this right, and then they could look at it and be like, that's too fucking good. We don't want your film on the internet.
Right.
Which is fucking disgusting.
So if I were a belligerent fan movie producer,
yeah,
I would make a film that violates every single one of these clauses.
Just to see how fast they react?
Yes. Because you know it'll go viral as soon as they say something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess you'd have to decide whether... Because with these in writing, they will sue you.
Yeah, but when you look at some stuff... So if you look at the whole... Everybody has to be an amateur, could never have worked on anything... you know, could not have worked on any Star Trek production, blah, 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 blah. So are you saying that because I was like an unpaid intern on Star Wars 7, The Search for More Cash, you're telling me I can't take this job? That's illegal in most states because of non-competition.
Well, yeah. Yeah, like not being compensated for your services, that's a strong fucking...
Like, just because I worked on it doesn't mean, you know, I mean, I see it's one thing to blackball George Takei for doing a fan film. It's another thing to go after the guy who put the labels on the DVD boxes.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, it's totally absurd. It's a knee-jerk reaction to something that they should be embracing. Like, they should really be taking a cue from Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm.
Lucasfilm put out a call for fucking Star Wars fan films and said, send us whatever you got. Like, we want to see how creative you can be.
Sure.
Like, that endears the creators to these, to Lucasfilm.
Well, you use the Creative Commons model.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yes, this is acceptable up to a point, and we'll let you know when you cross that point. But, you know, we appreciate you, and we know that you're helping... You know, God knows, keeping this dead franchise going. So, yeah. I mean, Christ, even if they were really smart, they would have just opened, you know, some sort of creator's toolkit.
And exactly. Said,
here's a bunch of sound effects. Here's a bunch of After Effects files for, you know, transporters. Here's some Romulan uncloaking. Go for it.
Right.
You know, we want you to make the best movie possible because we want you to respect our franchise. Here's how we're going to help you.
Right.
Instead, they just like flipped off everybody.
Yes. And like, so there are a bunch of people. There was a, I think it was the USS, I think they call it, was it the USS Farragut?
Yes. Farragut or Faraday?
Farragut.
Okay.
Farragut. I think it's USS Farragut's films or something. Starshipfarragut.com. These guys are people who do nothing but classic Trek fan films, and they do multiple episodes a year. These guys have already like closed up shop and been like, we're not fucking even gonna deal with this shit. So like, they had built sets. They had a soundstage. I think it was in Atlanta. Like, so all these people that have worked on this, you have now isolated and pretty much pissed off when they were keeping your shit alive.
And just when you have a new film about to drop.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get the thinking behind this.
Yeah.
Oh, now they've put all their stuff online for free. Well, there you go. Fuck you. We won't make money off of it. But there's a whole bunch of these. There's a whole bunch of like people who love Star Trek.
Right.
And are savvy enough to fucking create videos. Like, I have an idea for a Star Trek fan film.
Well, keep it to yourself.
Well, so now, like if I wanted to do it, I'd have to look at these and be like, well, it involves two ships shooting at each other. Does that violate that clause? Probably. Like, so now I can't make anything because I might show somebody getting killed.
Right.
Like, none of that. Oh, my God. Like, just way to shit on everybody, CBS.
Yeah.
Fucking Paramount. Like, you want us to pay money next January for a service, a digital streaming service, because you're putting out a new Star Trek series that's only going to be on digital.
Right.
And you expect us to do that now that you've pissed off the fan base. Like, that doesn't make any sense. All you're doing is pissing everybody off.
Mm-hmm. Stupid move.
I don't know. I don't quite get what they're thinking. Other than, like I said, they must have been tired of the actual Star Trek people raising money and making stuff on the Star Trek name. But you would think in something that big, you would have to get some kind of permission. I guess not. I mean, I guess if it's a fan film and you're going under Creative Commons,
right?
You just assume that it's okay. I don't know. I mean, the weird thing is, like, for all that stuff, I don't know where you can see Star Trek Renegades, to be quite honest.
Right.
Like, if you wanted to go watch that, where do you go? Like, I mean, there's nothing on the Internet Movie Database page that says where you can see it. Renegades. Let's see if I can find it on here. Maybe you can watch it on the website?
That'd be too easy.
So as of today, the Renegade news is that production is now underway for Renegades the Requiem.
Okay.
So how are they going to get away with this? Now, see, this is what I would be if I was that fan film director. I'd be throwing this back in their face going, well, what the fuck is this? How are you letting Chekhov, Uhura, and all these other people fucking do this when you're not letting us fucking raise money? So you're telling me that they're doing all this on 50 grand?
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Hmm.
And this is all since all this shit came out. I mean, they just posted a picture today of somebody in costume. Ooh, Terry Farrell's looking old. Oh, she did not age well at all. That makes me sad. Yeah, so this is happening right now. So I don't understand where all this shit is coming and how they can do this and nobody else can.
Don't know.
But it looks like Walter Koenig is putting his grandkids in it.
Oh, great.
Tim Russ is putting his daughter in it. Jesus. Yeah, that's kind of fucked up. That kind of pisses me off even more.
Right.
Let me click on this and see what this is. Support us.
Yes.
I got to send you this link. Hang on. Apparently there's rewards. Such as a autographed Legends photo of Walter Koenig and Nichelle Nichols, and you have to see the quality of this photo.
Loading, loading. Oh, here we go. Oh, dear God. Holy crap. Nichelle Nichols looks like the Geico Gecko. Oh, and Walter Koenig. God, didn't he run the pharmacy on Green Acres?
Maybe.
Wow. Oh, and the photo will be autographed by Walter Koenig,
Yes.
not Nichelle Nichols.
Well, no, because Walter Koenig has nothing better to do.
Oh,
But yeah, I mean, that looks like they surprised her for that photo.
Does she know she's getting her picture taken?
Maybe not.
God, Walter Koenig looks like Dick Cheney.
But I mean, part of these, if you scroll down, is DVDs.
Yep.
I don't understand what they're doing, how this is okay in CBS's eyes. This is everything. This goes against everything that those 10 rules put into place.
And this is the new series that they're launching.
Yes, as of today, if you go up, if you scroll all the way up and you go on home, over on the right, Renegade, the series, Renegade News, the production underway is dated today. Oh, here's, wait. I should have looked at the second one. A message regarding the new fan film guidelines. We at Renegades have nothing but the utmost respect for Star Trek and its IP holders, CBS and Paramount. Everything we have done has been because of Gene Roddenberry's vision and creativity. That being said, we do have an obligation to our donors and fans and have every intention on fulfilling it to the best of our ability. We will continue to make the Requiem as promised, but without any Star Trek elements.
Wow.
As you know, we're already begun filming the Requiem and cannot halt, suspend, or postpone production. Renegades from the get-go was designed to be transformative, not derivative. Thus, the very minor changes to our script. We have eliminated all the Star Trek references. The good news is that Renegades is now completely original in an ongoing series. But you're going to use a ship that looks like a Star Trek ship.
And you're in costumes that kind of resemble Star Trek costumes, and you have Klingon-esque characters and
So does that mean
Vulcan-esque characters.
that it's now parody? Because I guess that can be considered parody, I guess. I don't know. It's fucked up. Man, these people. Yeah, we're just gonna alter the costume just slightly so it's not really a Star Trek costume.
Right.
It's off just a little bit.
Wow. Okay. There you go.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, it looks like they sent a 6-year-old to set to take these pictures of the cast members.
Yes.
I would love to know what they're shooting on. None of the production pictures show cameras, though. They can't even like blow the pictures up.
Yeah, that's probably how bad they are.
Oh, you poor people. Hey, we're doing Star. No, we're not. Never mind. So, Walter Koenig is no longer Admiral Chekov. He's now just the Admiral.
Yes.
Tim Russ is no longer a Vulcan named Tuvok. He is a guy with pointy ears named Kovok.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would make the most over the top parody and just destroy.
Yeah, it doesn't say anything. Well, I guess unless they consider it defamatory,
Libelous.
libelous, or offensive, or hateful. But
I don't know. Yeah,
that's fucked up.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Star Trek is dead.
So, go support Renegade.
Mm,
no, maybe not.
That far.
Maybe no. not.
So, what how, would you? How'd you find out about the dude that died, the Anton Yelchin?
How did I find out about it?
Yeah.
It was on the news.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's a terrible way to die.
Yes. That. It's almost like the way that Deborah Messing dies in Mothman Chronicles. No, is it Mothman?
I don't know.
Yes, Mothman Prophecy.
Oh.
She's in the front yard and a car kills her, or a car hits her, pins her against a tree, and they try to keep her alive long enough to talk to her husband because once they back the car out, all of her guts spill out on the ground. So, yeah.
Well, fortunately, I don't think he lasted too long for his sake.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I can't picture having to go...
But you know why he died?
Why?
Because of these new fan rules.
But, like, just having to go on a press tour?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's the only thing the press is going to ask the rest of the Star Trek cast.
Oh, of course.
That's so fucking terrible. I wonder if there's going to be a rule in place around that. Like, you can't talk about Anton. Sorry. Yes, he's dead. We're all very upset. Talk about the fucking movie.
Yeah, well.
Because then it's like, so a lot of the crew members died. Oh. Damn it. Never mind.
Yeah.
Did you have fun making the film? Yeah, all of us, except the one missing guy, knew. It's going to be sad. Poor Anton.
Oh, well.
Dead before his time. All right, well. That was a pretty full episode.
Was. Makes up for last week's.
And the week before that.
Yes.
So, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, go to the Facebook page, YouTube page, all that good shit. And let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
May the force be with you.